Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter, I believe it's chapter 9, but Proverbs chapter 14, I'm sorry. Proverbs chapter 14. We are continuing our study on the book of Proverbs and the word wisdom, or wisdom in Proverbs. And as I've said virtually every lesson, we live in a foolish world today. Our world is just getting nuttier and nuttier and nuttier. I had to laugh. Did you know they're blaming President Trump already for the hurricane? It was in the news today because he took us out of the French or the Paris Accord, that the hurricane has come because of that. No lie, they are really reaching for it. They're already telling everybody how bad the FEMA is doing on the evacuation efforts for this hurricane, and it hasn't even hit land yet. It's just, I promise you, if he could walk on water, they would criticize him for it. It is what it is, and I'm not saying President Trump is the best president we've ever had. But may I say this, it's the best one we've had in the last eight or ten years, that's for sure, and got the economy moving in a positive direction. But our world is foolish. God does not want us to live foolishly. He gave us a book so that we don't have to wander around foolishly. The world's philosophy is this: well, we discovered it all. Hate to disappoint you something. We didn't discover it all. God taught us. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on this one day. Do you know that man didn't discover fire on his own? God taught Adam what fire was in the Garden of Eden. Do you know that man has been mining for gold and silver and iron and steel and copper and all the other metals and salt and other minerals since time began? Say, where did he learn it? God in the Garden of Eden. God gave man. Man didn't live in a cave somewhere and all of a sudden banged two rocks together and saw sparks and decided and caught something on fire. Shazam. It didn't work that way. God taught man how to make fire. We think we've just discovered it. How does man know which plants were poison and which plants weren't? Because God said, don't eat that, and you can eat that. Matter of fact, in the Garden of Eden, you could eat of any of the tree. Sin brought the poison. Okay? That brought death. Now, God says that he does not want you to live foolishly. He gave us a book by which we could get wisdom, and he said, if you'll ask me, I will help teach you from the Word of God what wisdom is. All right? Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. I'm going to pick up with number 16 tonight. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 6. Oh, I love this. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but folly is but the folly of fools is deceit. Number 16 is this: wisdom does not come by wrong methods. Wisdom does not come by wrong methods. Now, there's some words here I want to review with you. Notice in verse number 6, it says, a scorner. Now remember, the Bible says there is a simple person. That's a person that doesn't understand right from wrong. Then you have a wise person who understands right and wrong, knows when to use it, how to use it, where to use it, and with whom to use it with. Then you have the fool who knows what's right and wrong and chooses wrong. Then you have a scorner. A scorner is one who questions right and wrong and questions the authority. A scorner is one that's always questioning the authority. The Bible says here, a scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. You say, why? Because a scorner
wants to be their own authority. A scorner is very closely related to a fool. A scorner is one step closer to foolishness. When, and I'll use young people, for instance, teenagers, college age, young adults, when they start questioning authority.
Well, why do I have to do that? Why does, and by the way, wanting to know why isn't bad, but when you question the authority behind it, that's when it gets bad. When you start taking rules and trying to find the loophole in it and say, well, that's not what the rule says. The rule says this. Okay, you are outside the realm of what your authority is and challenging authority. And that challenging of authority. Okay, I won't talk. I won't look at anybody.
When you challenge the police officer because he pulled you over. All right? And I'm not looking at anybody.
But when you get mad because you were breaking the law or potentially or perceived that you were and you got pulled over and you start challenging the officer's authority, that's when things get wrong. That is scorning. Everybody doing okay? See, a scorner and a fool want to be the authority. Wise people don't need to be the authority. They need to know what the authority is so they can obey it.
Do you know I'm not fighting anybody about what we have to do for this? I've been fighting some of the processes. But I'm not fighting what we have to do.
Mrs. Barnes, I tell you, I haven't challenged the fire marshal. I haven't challenged the county. The only thing I challenged the county over was, why do we have to go through this so many times to get it right? You're costing me money and my church and God's people money every time we do this. Let's shorten this up so we don't have to do this again. Let's get it right the first time, not go through it six times. I didn't challenge their authority, just the process by which we get it done. Does that make sense to everybody? And had a very civil meeting. The Bible says wise people learn more easily because they listen and don't keep trying to do it their own way.
As a teacher, as a preacher, teaching scorners and teaching fools is almost impossible. They're constantly challenging, well, why is this? Why is that? Why does 2 + 2 = 4? Because if you got 2 French fries and somebody gives you 2 more French fries, how many French fries do you have? None, because you ate all 4 of them. All right?
It's just simple truth. And too many times we want to be the authority behind the truth and not the obeyer of the truth. See, the Christian life really is pretty simple. Comes down to one word, obey. Hate to tell you. You know, the more you obey, the easier the Christian life gets in every area. Instead of saying, well, God, why do you want me to do? Okay, you're just now getting into a scorning match. Wise people learn more easily because they listen and they don't keep doing things the hard way and they don't have to keep doing it over and over and over and again to get it right.
I heard this so many times growing up from the guy sitting on the back row back there. He would say, son, do you want to do it right or do you want to do it over? Son, you want to do it right or you want to keep doing it? How many times do you want to do it?
Ooh, hated that statement. Hated it. The Bible says that a wise person doesn't waste time on foolish people. Look at verse number 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge.
Do you know you're not supposed to waste time on foolish people? That's why I don't listen to much news. I'm not going to waste my time. Because the news reporters are foolish.
Seriously. There are very few news reporters out there that aren't foolish. Everything is so slanted. Everything is so indoctrinating against right and wrong for you to choose your own way. Can you believe that they're upset that there are schools that teach that the Constitution is the authority? That's just such an old document, it can't be relevant anymore. That's what they're upset. Did you know that the liberals in Maine are now taking up, and they've got a $1 million petition against Senator Collins in Maine, that if she signs on for Kavanaugh, that they're going to spend $1 million against her in the next election? That's called illegal, just so you know. That's how bad they're scared about the Supreme Court ruling constitutionally. Liberals are afraid of the Constitution because it is the authority. Amen. Everybody doing okay? So wise people don't waste time on foolish people. That means this. Hang in there. Be careful how much foolishness you waste on foolish music, foolish television, foolish news, foolish social media, foolish conversations with people. Wise people follow wisdom and get understanding, and then they learn how to take what they got in that area of life and repeat it in this area, and repeat it in this area, and repeat it in that area. Everybody listen to me very carefully. Did you know that the principles of this book cross lines? You can use them at home. You can use them at work. You can use them in church. You can use them in every area of life. Did you know even lost people can live God's principles and be blessed by them? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. God will spare our country and lift our country and bless our country, whether the leader is saved or not, as long as we follow righteousness. Say, is President Trump a Christian? Don't know, but as long as he's following Bible principle, America can be blessed. Period. We didn't elect him as a pastor. We elected him as a leader of our country. Everybody doing okay? So it works for a nation. It works in every area of life. We need to learn how to transfer principles. We're real good about teaching our kids that they need to obey us, but where do they learn to disobey? Number one, it's inbred. Number two, they watch how you disobey. Somebody wise once said, children are often not good at doing what you tell them to do, but they're very good at doing what you show them to do. They will show you what you are in more than one way. Can I tell you something? Did you know you can obey without understanding first? Usually, understanding comes after obedience. Not a person in the world goes through boot camp and understands why. Not a one. There's nothing that you do in boot camp that makes sense. Nothing. But once you're out in the field and out doing things, all of a sudden some of that training comes back. There was a purpose in every stupid thing that they did. Banging on trash cans at 4:30 in the morning to wake you up. Screaming and hollering. Making you clean your gun and weapon every day. Pulling it apart. Being able to do it blindfolded. You say, why? Because under fire, you're not going to be able to say, well, I'm too cold. I'm too hot. Can you give me a break so I can do this? You'll be laying in a hole somewhere trying to fix your gun so you can kill the guy that's trying to kill you right then. You better know it and be able to do it without even thinking. And you better be able to take orders that quick from whoever is in charge, because it could save your life. So everything was done by order, even though it did not make sense to you at the time. So you don't need understanding before obedience. Obedience brings understanding. A scorner wants to say, well, once I understand why, once I figured out, then I'll do it. You do it, then you figure it out. When Dad said, take the trash out, you didn't say, well, when I understand why, then I'll do it. You had a size 9.5 put somewhere before you understood, trust me. After the 9.5 came, you figured out why. Anybody got that one? All right. Maybe it wasn't a 9.5 in your case, but it was in my case. All right. Wisdom doesn't come by a wrong method. You're not going to cheat God on wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. And you're going to get it God's way, or you're not going to have wisdom. So, well, there's such a thing as worldly wisdom. That's called smart foolishness. It's not wisdom. All right, I got to hurry here. It's so many things I want. I could preach a whole sermon right there, but I'm not. I need Miss Martha tonight. Oh, come on, preacher. Go ahead. All right, Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs, the only time that it really bothered me when she was talking about us having more kids. Mm-mm. Her old timers kicked in at the wrong time. Oh, bless her heart. Oh, bless your heart. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Point number 17 is this. Wise children exercise wisdom as children. They don't wait until they're older.
We need to be aggressive about teaching children to be wise. From the time that they're born. By the way, they're born foolish because they're born sinners. They're born lost. You know why you go through the terrible twos and the the worst threes? Because they're sinners.
What? A kid that's born in a Christian family and goes to church regularly usually gets saved around the age of 4, 5, 6 years old. Usually. Not always, but usually somewhere in that ballpark. And you'll notice before they get saved, you think they are a twofold child of the devil. You say, why? Because they're acting like every other lost person acts. It's hard to look at your child and say, you're lost. It's not hard to say sometimes you're a hellion. Because sometimes it's true. Can I tell you, even godly parents have lost children? Because you did. And until they understand right from wrong and understand salvation, they can't be saved. So they're going to act like a lost person in the flesh. That's why they act that way. Are we doing okay? So doesn't that bother you, preacher? No. That's part of learning they're sinners. But may I say this, wise children exercise wisdom as children, and they don't wait till they get older. Wise young people follow the wisdom of their parents, and they don't challenge it. I'm about to get myself in trouble here, but that's all right. The young people that grow up in our church and who have grown up in church, when they start working in the world, they don't understand why they rise quickly. They think everybody has the same work ethic and same character level they have. Wrong answer. Not out there. My daughter's gotten a new job. She's working a 40-hour week job because she's got such a light college schedule this year. Well, her and a couple of her friends there at school work there. They just about run the place. They're training them in every department right now. The second week they were there, they put them in a secured area. And they said, this ought to keep you busy. 30 minutes later, they were done. Her boss told her the other day, do you know that you and this other girl that she works with side by side, she says, you know, on a report I fill out every day, you and you are on my report. My daughter looked at him. She said, no, don't worry. It's always positive. She said, you don't stand here doing nothing. You ask for more to do. She said, we've sent you guys home early because nobody in the plant can keep up with you. And every day I use your names in a positive way. They don't understand why. You work out in the world long enough, you'll figure that out. It doesn't take long. Because there is a character that comes with wisdom. There is a character that comes with truth. And when you're dedicated to truth, you understand that. And you're not going to question. Did you know Christian young people generally make better workers because they don't question authority? They just obey? No, not always, but generally. People who criticize and are negative about parents are not the young people that your young people should spend time with.
Young people, if somebody talks bad about their mom or their dad, don't spend any time with them.
Not at all. I don't spend time with adults that talk bad about their parents. I really don't. Everybody doing okay? Wise people, and by the way, not everybody had saved parents. There's a little difference there. When I'm counseling somebody, and they say, well, you don't understand my past and my parents, but they don't sit there and criticize their parents. We're trying to help get through a situation. Wise people don't find joy in folly. Look at verse number 21. The Bible says, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. The word folly there, listen to this, I love it. The word folly means extreme, taking high risk, or living on the edge.
When somebody is living in folly, it's usually a teenage boy about 17 years old that's got a car and trying to figure out how fast it'll really go. That's called folly. No, I didn't say Harry, Kathy. I watched your mouth. I'll protect Harry.
Folly is living on the edge. A couple of weeks ago in the news, there was a teenage young lady that got pushed off of a 65-foot high bridge into the water. They were going to jump off, and she didn't want to jump, and her friend said, 3, 2, 1. She ended up breaking about 6 ribs and had 2 collapsed lungs and almost died. Say, what was that? Folly. Number one, it was stupid. Number two, it was folly. Living on the edge. Oh, you can do this. You can do it just once. It won't hurt you. Not smart.
Be careful pulling your younger children along too soon. You know, at 6 years old, they're not 16. They're 6. At 7, they're not 17. And a 7-year-old isn't going to be able to do what a 17-year-old does, no matter how old that is. If you're 37 and you got a 7-year-old, they can't keep up with you.
If they're 17, they probably can't keep up with you. At least you should be a little smarter than they are. So folly is that extreme, high risk-taking, living on the edge. I used to love roller coasters.
I really do. I loved roller coasters. The higher, the faster, the more upside down, the crazier, the better. I've been on the ones that the track is on top of you and your feet dangle. I've been on the ones that corkscrew. I've been on the ones that loop-de-loop. I've been on the ones that, the old wooden ones that rattle your teeth out and you get out and gotta spit your fillings out. I've been on the ones that go backwards. Those are not fun.
I've been on the ones that take you out over the edge and drop you straight down for about 400 feet, like this. You name it. The only one I did not ride yet, and I'm not going to, is the one that launches you with an aircraft carrier launcher, 0 to 60 in 1.5 seconds. I mean, it's just totally insane. I was smart enough to stand down here at where it launches and watch everybody going like this. Thinking, not doing that, but far enough away not to get thrown up on when they went as they went by, you know?
I love roller coasters. Do you know at 51 years old I don't enjoy them like I used to?
The equilibrium doesn't react the same way. It's a little less enjoyable. It's just not quite the same thrill as I used to get. Now, would I still do it? Probably. Probably not as often. Good night. I've been to amusement parks before. Get off of the ride, run back to the beginning, get back on it on the next trip. I grew up in Ohio,
Cedar Point's there. When I remember when the Gemini just came in, it used to be the highest and the fastest. We went there one time. There was nobody at the park. I bet you I rode that thing 25 times that day. The Blue Streak, all of them.
Man, I mean, it was just roller coaster day. Let me tell you, it was great. But don't put me on anything that goes in a circle. Mm-mm. I got one friend that tried one time. Got me in that stupid thing, the rotor. You know, you stand in it, and all of a sudden you're plastered up against the wall, and you're going like this. Centrifugal force. That's not good stuff. I sat down for 2 hours after that. Green as could be. Ride roller coasters all day, but don't make me go in circles. I can't even watch a carousel go around too long, or I'm going, I just don't like that motion. You ask my wife, I'm looking away. Can't do the merry-go-round. Mm-mm. You put me on a loop-de-loop, let's do it. Put me on a little horse going up and down and around in a circle. Folly. Wise people don't go from risk to risk and enjoy it. You come to a point in time in life where you realize risk is not fun. You realize that all of that fun has a penalty that goes with it. Yeah, I could probably still do it, but is it worth it? Just to say I did it. Anybody understand that? There are some jobs I don't do anymore, not because I can't do it, but why do it? It's not worth the recovery time. Wise people walk by principle, not by thrill. Wise people understand a budget, not just a pay raise. Wise people understand a plan, not just, wow, look what's going on now. I say it this way, don't follow every sparkly thing along the way. It's amazing how our world advertises and glitters and glamours to get your attention, and you never do get to the end of the road. Did you ever notice at a theme park how many things are between each major ride to get your money? I gotta hurry up. Proverbs chapter 17. Now that you understand all of my folly. Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse number 16. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? Wisdom has a high price tag that most people don't want to pay. Wisdom has a high price tag that most people do not want to pay. Okay, everybody look at me for a second. I can tell you what the price is. The cost of wisdom is you give up doing it your way and you do it God's way. Wisdom is you give up your way and do it God's way. And by the way, sometimes it's you do it when God wants, not when you want. It's not always the what of what we do, it's the when of what we do. You know, there are certain times I shouldn't tell my wife that wasn't really smart. There are other times I can say, honey, I don't think we should have done it that way, do you? And we'll laugh about it. There's other times, don't do that. We'll wait till later to say that. Tell you why, wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom costs time to research so that you can do it right the first time.
I don't generally make a lot of fast decisions. But once I've decided something, I want it done already.
I'll take my time researching before I make a decision. But once I get to the decision and the decision's made, here we go. For instance, shopping. Shop wisely. Take some time to research. I looked for 2.5 months for a truck. Not hard, but I looked. Saved myself a bunch of money. shop before you do something. Look for better deals. You know, just because you want it doesn't mean you need it. There are things I want. There are things I need. I knew I was buying my wife new furniture for our new house. I knew roughly when our house would be done. Guess what? Labor Day sales came. I did real good. I had planned on Labor Day, them cutting cost on a lot of stuff. So, the weekend before Labor Day, or the week before Labor Day, we went shopping for Labor Day sales. Now, we saved about 40 or 50% on some big ticket items. I saved thousands of dollars. And I saved a bunch on interest because it was no interest on top of that. You say, why did you do that, preacher? I had planned on it. Number one, I didn't have a place to put stuff anyway, so might as well wait. Number two, I was waiting for the best deals I could find. I think we used good wisdom. I have some points on one of the cards that I use. Well, I already know what I'm going to use it for. I've got enough points saved up. I can just about buy either the washer or the dryer with those points. And she's getting a new washer and dryer. Well, I got about enough points saved up to get her about at least half of one of them. That's going to save me a bunch of money. See, well, what if there's other things I want, but they're not needs. Everybody doing okay? Boy, if I ever heard this, my dad's going to laugh. Think through what you need before you go to the store so you don't have to make six trips back there. Lord have mercy. Think through this. If he ever had to go to the store twice in the same day, it was not going to be a happy day working. Mm-mm. You ought to have thought through this before you did that. Wisdom plans vacations. It doesn't just show up and decide what to do on the spur of the moment. Moving on. Notice I waited till after summer was over to say that one. Fools don't want to take time to plan. They want to do and then figure it out along the way. They're the ones that say, I don't need to read the directions. I wonder why you got so many parts left over and why it doesn't look like the one on the box. Why do they ever write those things in Chinese to where you can't understand them anyway? It doesn't make sense. Wisdom takes time to look and think in all directions before it takes action. Before I make a decision, I look in every direction and how's this going to affect everything. Before we made a mistake and left the engineering alone on the building, I talked to the fellas doing the work. I talked to the general contractor. I talked to our potential future engineer. Then we talked with the county. Then I talked to the men on the board. And we made a decision. I didn't make the decision in one day. I did make the decision to pull the plug and say, hold it till we can make a decision. Then we made a decision. Saved us $250,000. Praise the Lord. Had enough sense to say, time out. This isn't bigger than me. Need a little help. But look in all directions. Could we have done that? Maybe. But maybe not. I'm not sure the bank would have extended the loan another $250,000. They were choking on $70,000 the last time. We were almost at a standstill. That's why we did our research. Figured out a way to make it happen. Wise people are slower to respond, but they make less mistakes. Wise people are a little slower to respond, but they make fewer mistakes. There's less damage to fix because they took longer time to make the decision. If the little yellow light on your car that looks like an engine comes on, you don't drive another 300 miles before you decide to have somebody look at it. When the check engine light or the oil light comes on in your vehicle, you don't drive it. You just say, okay, now what's next? Let's get out and look at it. It takes character to get wisdom, and that is not gotten easily. The price of wisdom is dying to yourself, dying to your timing, and character. Okay, I got to hurry up. Ooh, number 19. Oh, I want to get to this one. You ready? Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 1. Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Wisdom knows when to get involved. I want you to underline the when. Wisdom knows when to get involved. Notice the Bible says, through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Now, the word desire means stubbornness to do right. So through the stubbornness to want to do right, wisdom has wise desires that are right, not just about what it wants. Wise desires are like a diet. You say no to what and when you should eat. If you're going to lose weight, you have to decide what you're going to say no to and when you're not going to eat and what you're not going to eat. There are times you tell yourself no. Period. Bonbons, right, brother? there are things that you just say, I'm not going to do that. Oh, almost 2 years ago, I decided to get in shape and get ready for a big elk hunt that I had last year. Lost a bunch of weight, did some exercise. You know, I kept most of what I did through that 9-10 months that I still do. I still only eat one meal a day, usually. Have a protein bar for breakfast, protein bar and some cashews for lunch, drink lots of water, 2 cups of coffee in the morning, and then I'll eat supper. That's it. Tell you why. It was good enough to get me to where I was. It's good enough to maintain me. Say, do you ever get hungry? Of course I do, like everybody else does. I just don't gorge myself with the wrong things at the wrong time. And I have some more loose. Brother Harry's found out these new Twizzlers that are loaded with things. He's killing me. I can't walk by those things, man. And then Kathy gives me black licorice. And you just got to eat it, you know? That's good stuff. But desire. Now, have the stubbornness to know when to get involved. Watch this. Through desire, a man having separated himself. That doesn't mean you are separated from the world. That's separated from himself. You look at a situation and you step back and say, okay, I'm going to look at this objectively. If that weren't me and that's that person and somebody else, what needs done? Then you step back in and say, I'm going to listen to what you just said. You separate yourself from the situation. Everybody understand that? There are times I have to counsel myself. As I told somebody not long ago, sometimes it really stinks to take your own advice. But you got to do it. Sometimes it really does stink. But I've got to do it because I've stepped away from it, looked at it objectively, decided what was right and wrong, not based on what I want, but what I would advise someone else to do, step back in and follow that advice. I know I could preach a whole sermon on that right there. I'm not going to. Wisdom knows when not to get involved. You might find this hard to believe. Do you know I don't ask to get involved in most situations? It's going up to the hospital on what day did we go up there, Dad? Monday? Monday, late morning, he and I went up to Baltimore to the hospital because we thought Mom was coming home. And it's Wednesday and she's still not home. And while we were driving up there, I had a pastor from out of state call me, needed advice. And I said to him, I'm in the car with my dad. I'm not going to use names. Just perchance, my dad someday would meet whoever was involved with that. So there was a whole conversation done. My dad has no idea even what pastor I was talking to, let alone what state it was in or what it was, who it was about. And honestly, he probably didn't pay that much attention and doesn't listen to me anyway. Now, wait a minute. I did that to protect him, but also to protect the person I was talking to and the advice and the person he was going to advise. I was able to give him a new perspective on it to help him get through the situation. I didn't call him and ask him what he needed. He called me and asked me if he could ask my advice. Sometimes advice isn't a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of what's best, what's good, and what's better. Just because somebody doesn't pick what you want doesn't mean it's not good. My wife used to give the kids a choice for breakfast. None of the choices were bad choices, but they weren't necessarily choices we would make. But we let them make their own choice. That's how you teach them to make decisions and follow through with them. You don't give them wrong things to choose. You give them right things to choose from. Let them choose what they want. We would have game night. We'd throw a bunch of games out and say, okay, you pick one, then after we're done, you pick one, then after we're done, you pick one. There were nights I didn't get any of the games I wanted to play, but I didn't care. I wanted all three of them. That's supposed to be funny. Sometimes you don't get it when you want it. Sometimes you're not going to get it your way. Sometimes you have to advise against the way you would want it. Because it's not a matter of what you want. It's a matter of what's needed. Wisdom allows you to separate yourself from the situation and look at it objectively. Oh, my soul. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh an intermeddleth with all wisdom. Step aside. I never talk to another pastor without saying, how would I feel if I was talking to a pastor for advice here? Do I want them demanding me do something? Or do I just want their advice? Now, I've talked to a bunch of younger pastors and I'm thinking, you got a hole in your head big enough to drive a Mack truck. Please listen to me. But I can't say that. I always say, well, brother, it's up to you. You're the preacher, not me. I've dealt with this a few times and this is how I've handled it. And if you're asking, this is how I would do it, in your situation, but you do what you want. Sometimes they listen. Sometimes they chose somebody else's advice. And then they call me back and say, well, I called so-and-so, and they told me to do this, and I did that, and it didn't work. I think I need your help this time. If you'd listened to me last time, you wouldn't be where you're at now. Now we got two things to fix. But that's okay. That's why he's the preacher there. And I wasn't mad at him. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right here. We've got to learn when not to inject ourselves. Fellas, if you burn water when you boil it, don't tell your wife how to cook. If the best thing you can make is Pop-Tarts and cereal, keep your opinion to yourself. I know my way around the kitchen. I can cook just about as good as most, not all, most ladies. I really can. But I don't offer less asked. My wife's a good cook. Now, there's times when we were first married, I'd say, how about we try this? Are you sure? Yeah, well, let's try it. Shove it in there. And she was like, yeah, just get aggressive. Let's try this. She wasn't quite as aggressive as I was. She's learned to get pretty aggressive. Say why? She married me. I know enough about it, but I don't go in the kitchen when it's time to help her and say, well, get out of the way. I'll do. No. Kitchen's hers. You can ask her. Virtually every day that I'm home and she's cooking, I'll say, do you need help? Most of the time it's no. Sometimes, well, yeah, if you want to do this, sure. What do you need? Sometimes it's setting a table. Sometimes it's cutting something up. Sometimes it's doing the fish because she doesn't like doing fish or whatever. It doesn't bother me, but I don't demand it my way. And I'll always say, what do you want done with it? Tell me how you want it. Tell me what you want on it. Tell me what you need here. And I don't just get in there and just do it usually. Now, if she says do it your way, I'll do it my way. But other than that, it's her kitchen, not mine. I plan on eating there the rest of my life and keeping her happy, amen? If I can keep her happy, I'm going to be happy. If she's cleaning and I'm around, I'll say, do you need help? No, I got it. You sure? Yep. But I always offer, and I don't do it my way. I ask her how she wants it done. You say, what is that? Stepping back, looking at it objectively, and not demanding my way on everything. It's not saying, well, honey, how do you want it? And her tell me what she wants, and then saying, well, I don't want it that way. We're going to do it this way. Then what'd you ask her for? Now you got hurt feelings on top of the fact that it just wasn't real wise. If you're going to ask, you better listen. I got to quit there. So many more things I want to say. Wisdom is such a valuable commodity. It's not gotten easily, but it is able to be gotten. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And we all need wisdom. None of us are all wise. Only God is.